scripture reading before the lesson this morning. We're reading from Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
If we listen carefully to the passage that Stan just read, we heard about a spirit. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, Paul says there is a spirit that works in the sons of disobedience. This is one of the places where we find that we're told that people can be driven by what we might refer to as a spirit of rebellion or a spirit of disobedience. When we look at our world, we find that this spirit is very evident. Most of us have heard at least a little something about the Occupy Wall Street crowd. This movement has extended to a number of cities in the United States. And if we look at what has been involved with this particular movement, this protest, we find a great deal of rebellion and disobedience. The rebellion, the level of disobedience has been so significant that recently some figures were released about some cities and the expenditures that have resulted from the Occupy crowd. Just two communities, New York City and Oakland, California, have spent in excess of $10 million trying to clean up from the Wall Street protesters. Man's rebellion in the physical world is easy to see. We also find that as we look at the spiritual realm, man is also often rebellious. When we think about rebellion, we find that it often pops up at the various stages in life. In the younger year, we can find that spirit of disobedience, that rebellious spirit in young people. It may be a parent, it may be an official, a school official, a law enforcement official that says something to a child and the child immediately says, "No, I will not. I will not do that. I will not comply." There is that rebellious spirit. The Old Testament recognizes this spirit in Proverbs 22, verse 15. It says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. There is often a natural inclination for kids to be rebellious. So the Bible says that rod of correction is needed to drive that rebellious spirit from the child. As people enter into the adult years, oftentimes that rebellious spirit continues. We even find it among those that are senior citizens and beyond. I've heard people say in the later years, "I'm old enough now, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I've lived long enough, I've got enough gray hair, I've lost all my hair, nobody's going to decide for me what's right and wrong." When we look at the Bible, one of the recurring themes that we find is human rebellion. Time and time again, man has often been resistant to a higher authority. And this rebellion, this resistance is seen in the earliest parts of the Bible. Think about Adam and Eve. For a while, this couple, these two, lived in harmony with God. They submitted to his will. But the day came, we don't know exactly when it was after creation, but the day came when they decided to revolt. Paul picked up on this theme in Romans 5, verse 19, where he talked about the disobedience. There was that rebellious spirit. He says the disobedience of one man, talking about Adam and Eve's, of course, included in the thought, how this brought sin into the world. A little later, Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 21, talked about the prophet Isaiah. And Paul in Romans 10, verse 20 said that, 21 said that God opened his hands, had his hands spread day in and day out, wanting to welcome his people. God waited for a long time, but God was dealing with a stubborn and a rebellious people, and they simply would not submit to his authority. Those who are considered to be what we might refer to as average folks in life are often rebellious. We also see rebellion among those who are powerful. The people who have great authority, oftentimes they're rebellious. As I think about the folks that would fall into this category, some information in Exodus 5 comes to mind. Exodus 5 tells us that many years ago, Moses and Aaron went to the leader of Egypt with a very distinctive message. Exodus 5, verse 1, And afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said unto Pharaoh, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel. And here was the message. Let my people go. God said, I want you to release the nation of Israel so that they might hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Well, that wasn't what Pharaoh had in mind as far as his plan for the nation of Israel. So as he hears the statement in Exodus 5, verse 1, we find in verse 2, Pharaoh said, who is Jehovah that I should hearken, that I should submit, that I should recognize his authority? I know not Jehovah, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. When it comes to rebelling against authority, the average person out there on the street is often guilty. The leaders, the officials in life are often guilty. And when we think about what the Bible says concerning people who rebel against authority, we find that even religious people may be guilty of rebelling against authority. If we move past the book of Exodus and go to the book of Leviticus, we have a familiar story and chapter in Leviticus chapter 10. Moses here recorded some information about two priests. These priests knew what God had authorized. They knew that they were bound to submit to God's authority. But the Bible says in Leviticus 10 that these priests offered strange fire. They knew that they had to use fire. But they got fire, they got this tool that was necessary from a place that God had not authorized or specified. Because they refused to submit to God's authority, the Bible says they were destroyed. They lost their lives. Leviticus 10 proves that even religious people may not always submit to God's authority. Now some might say, well, you know, maybe that was just kind of an exception, an unusual case. No. We think about Moses. Later in the biblical record, how God said, speak to the rock, but he struck it. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and preach, but he sought to rebel against God's commandment, at least for a time. 1 Samuel 15 describes King Saul, how he was told to destroy everything associated with the Amalekites, but he didn't do that. Time after time after time, we find rulers, common people, and even religious people failing to submit to God's authority or some other type of power. The spirit of rebellion is alive and well in today's world. But when we look at the scriptures, we find that a rebellious spirit is not the spirit or not the attitude that God wants us to have. Rather than rebel, the Bible teaches submit. Rather than reject, God says accept the authority that's in place. In 1 Corinthians 16, and we're going to turn over here, we find a chapter that people often do not spend a lot of time in. Sure, we know 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 as far as information about the collection, but not much attention is often given to the rest of the chapter. But in 1 Corinthians 16, 16, this idea of submission comes up at the end of this letter. Paul said that ye also be in subjection. Submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth in the work and laboreth. Now to get the full point, we have to back up a verse. Paul says, I want you to submit yourselves. I want you to subject yourselves to someone. Well, who were the Corinthians to subject themselves to? If we back up to verse 15, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they set themselves to minister unto the saints. Paul said, there is this household. They've been busy in the work of the Lord, verse 15. And he said, I want you to submit yourselves to someone. To whom? To the household that he described in verse 15. Paul taught these Christians that they were to submit themselves one to another. When we look at the Corinthian congregation, we find that it was a church that had some difficulty when it came to submission and authority. In 1 Corinthians 11, we find that instead of submitting one to another, the principle in 1 Corinthians 16, the Corinthians often had a me-first attitude. When it came time for their potluck meal, it was, we're going to eat the food that we have, and if you come a little later, if you're not in line first, that's tough. Rather than submit, rather than yield, it's going to be us first. We're going to feed our faces first. When it came time to exercise the spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, they were not willing to take turns. They were not willing to submit one to another, but it was, once again, a me-first attitude. So as Paul deals with those problems, and then comes to 1 Corinthians 16, he says, I want you to submit one to another. Well, today, more than 2,000 years later, this same point still needs to be applied. Imagine all the church difficulties that have existed over the last 2,000 years. And imagine how many of those problems would have been avoided or significantly lessened if people had merely submitted one to another instead of insisting on their own way. People, and certainly Christians, need to submit to one another instead of resisting one another. Now, when we think about submission, the first thing that may jump to our mind as far as being a Christian would be elders. We know Hebrews 13:17, the Bible tells Christians to submit to elders, and that's right. There's no doubt that that is taught in the Word of God. Elders are God's plan, God's means to guide a local congregation. So the Bible tells us to submit to a local eldership. But there have been times when a congregation of God's people in this country and elsewhere has had elders and Christians refuse to submit. There have been some places where a congregation has had elders. Those elders have made a decision. There were some Christians that did not like that decision, and they openly said, we're not going to follow that. We're not going to be obedient to the eldership that we have. Rather than submit, some have chosen to be selfish and even childish. When we think about the idea of submitting or yielding or accepting information from authority that is greater than we are, if you will, that does not mean that we yield or we accept or we submit when we like the information. There are going to be some decisions in life that are made that we don't like, and, you know, that's just something that is a part of life. Submission is one of the tests of our spirituality and Christian commitment. Aside from elders, there needs to be times when we submit or when we yield to one another. Rather than rebel like the world often does, we say to a fellow brother or sister, that may not be my preference, that may not be my choice, but I'm going to do my best to submit and yield in this situation. Submission is needed in the place where we worship. Submission or this yielding is also needed in the home. In Ephesians 5, verse 22, Paul said that wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, there are wives in today's world, a lot of them in the world, and certainly some in the church, who will refuse to submit to their husband, or they will only submit as a last resort. In fact, it seems as we look at our culture, there are some cases where there are wives who almost take joy in rebelling at the role that the husband has, the role that God has given him. When husbands will not submit to God's plan, and God does have a plan for the man. Sometimes there are men that are not willing to submit to God's plan. That creates problems. There are wives that refuse to submit to their husbands. That also creates problems. And we find cases where children will not submit to the authority that God has given to the parents. And this also creates some issues. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. Children submitting to the parents, yielding to the parents' authority. The Bible says this is from God, and this is right. The world, as we look at it, often says that submission is the wrong choice. God says yielding is the right choice. The world says submission is something that losers do. God says this is for winners. The world says submission is for sissies. God says submission is for the saved. The world says submission means that we let people run roughshod over us. And God says submission is my idea. Consequences may not always be favorable, but this is my will. There needs to be submission to God when it comes to his will and the church. There needs to be that submission in the home on all levels. And submission, as we think about it from our next passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it also needs to exist when it comes to civil authority. There are some people who profess to be religious, but when it comes to submitting to civil authority, they say, oh no, I don't have to do that. But Peter said these words, be subject, yield, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, and then in verse 14, or unto governors as sent by him. It's not often that I ride in the back seat, but I had the chance this past week to ride in the back seat of a vehicle probably three or four times. And this may be somewhat inconsistent on my part, but if I'm in the front seat, I'm always inclined to wear a seatbelt. I mean, it's just an automatic thing. But if I'm in the back seat of a vehicle, I am not inclined to wear a seatbelt. I just kind of pretend like it doesn't exist. Now, maybe that's a bad habit, but that's just kind of where I am as far as my mental frame of mind. During this past week, I was in a state which requires that people who are in the back seat wear a seatbelt. Now, I'm not personally in favor of that law. I do not like that particular law, and I would have really preferred to have been in the front seat. Now, I could have broken that particular law, and chances are nobody would have known. We were never stopped by an official. Oftentimes, it was dark when I was in this area of the vehicle. But notice what Peter says from 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Be subject. And not only does he say be subject, he says be subject unto every ordinance of man. Talking about civil authority. I was tempted to rebel against the civil authority that instituted a backseat seatbelt law for the state of Tennessee. That spirit of disobedience, Ephesians 2, verse 2, was hanging over my head throughout the last week. But my choice was to obey the law. When Peter wrote about submission to the government, these brethren were living under very difficult conditions. This was a wicked, this was a corrupt, this was an evil government. This government was responsible for killing a number of people. And if there had ever been a time in the world's history to say, we're not going to submit, this would have been it. But Peter, as he writes, he says, submit. And not only submit, he says, submit fully, submit completely. And this is still our duty today. One of the keys to having the best kind of life now, and this includes being in a right relationship with God, is submission. And in fact, when it comes to our life, we have one of two choices. We can either choose the spirit of rebellion, Ephesians 2:2, or we can say, God, we're going to choose submission. Submission is a choice. And God intends for that to be a voluntary choice. If we choose, if we decide to submit, God says that opens up the way to pleasing me and all my blessings. But God says you have a second option. You have the option of going through life, and you can resist authority. You can refuse to yield at every turn. You can make the choice of not yielding to your parents. You can make the choice of refusing to yield to me, not submitting to civil authority. On every hand, you can refuse to be submissive. But God says, if you go down that road, I have a promise for you. In Romans 14, verse 11, the Bible there says, every knee, and it means everyone. A time is coming where God says every knee and every tongue will confess God. We may not want to do that. We may refuse to submit in this life, but God says a time is coming when you will stand before me and you will submit. God allows people to have that rebellious spirit described in Ephesians 2, verse 2. Now, when we think about resisting civil authority, sometimes people can do that and maybe they're never caught. Maybe they are successful. Going back to the seatbelt illustration, I probably never would have been caught or found out. Sometimes when it comes to resisting civil authority, people don't face too many consequences. Or maybe the consequences come very late in life. The Bible, though, warns us that the day comes when each person will depart this life. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. If a man wants to live in rebellion to God 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, maybe 100 years, God says, I'm going to allow that. But God says, if you make that choice, I'm also going to allow you to live in rebellion in eternity. If we want to be a spiritual rebel, God says, I have a place for rebels. And it's not a fun place. It's not a desirable place. But it is the place that is the ultimate destination, the perfect destination, we might say, for anyone that's rebellious. The devil was rebellious. And God says, with that rebellion that's so awful, that is so foul, there's only one place that's going to be acceptable for you and your angels, and that's going to be the place that's called hell. Hell is a proper home for the rebellious, but it is not a good home, or it's not a desirable home. But it is going to be the place for all who refuse to yield. Heaven, though, is the other side of the coin. And when we look at heaven, we find that it is a place for those who turned from rebellion. That's not always an easy choice. That's not always our first choice, or maybe our natural choice. But heaven is for those who are willing to submit to authority. That submission begins with becoming a Christian. Faith, we yield ourselves to God. Repentance, we're submitting to God's authority. God, you have a plan for life. And I can't live according to the old way. When we confess Christ, we are submitting to, we're acknowledging the Lord's authority. And when we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, once again, we're yielding ourselves to God, to his plan, to his authority. And every single day that we choose to live as the Bible describes, if we're really doing that to the best of our ability, we are doing our best to submit ourselves to God. But when we go in a different direction, we're saying today or tomorrow, this week, God, we're no longer willing to submit ourselves to your authority. A lot of people are gathered right now in some part of the U.S. to worship God. Sermons may be starting, sermons may be ending, people are somewhere maybe in the middle of a sermon. But we have a number of people at worship right now throughout this nation. And every person that is gathered at worship this morning falls into one of two categories. Either they are on the path of rebellion, or they are on the path of yielding to God. And that's true. We've probably got about 80 people here this morning. Every person who's old enough to be accountable for their actions, we're on one of two roads. Either that road of stubbornness, that road of rebellion, that road where we have refused to yield ourselves to God, and thus have that disobedient spirit that Paul described in Ephesians 2, verse 2. The second choice, and we trust that many here this morning are pursuing this course, we are someone who has decided to yield to God. And as hard as that is some days, and it is going to be difficult, we say, God, I recognize your authority. I want to submit to it. We've initially rendered obedience to the gospel and showed our love for God, our appreciation to God, our submission to God by becoming a Christian. But if we've done that, this morning, let's think about our life and ask as we go through today and tomorrow, and if the Lord lets us live the days and weeks that follow, are we every single day doing our best to yield ourselves to God and his will? That's one of the keys to eternal life. And we pray and trust that that is the course that you're on. But if it's not, this morning we'd like to encourage you to write things. If you've not yet become a Christian, you're probably close. You believe. And you really do want to live in the way that's right. But you've just not quite knelt down far enough and said, there are some additional things that I need to do. This morning we'd like to encourage you to take those additional steps, to truly yield yourself to God, to become a Christian by being baptized into the Lord's spiritual body, the church. Have every single sin washed away, to experience the beauty, the joy, the power of that, and then to continue to yield yourself to the best of your ability every single day to God. Are we yielding ourselves to God? If not, can we help you correct that as we stand and encourage you with the selected song?
Bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal clean from the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the well. Is a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come?
Kathy's come forward this morning and said that she's going through a difficult time in life. She feels like she's got a lot of things that are discouraging, and she's asked us to pray for her. We're going to do that in just a moment. We're studying the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings, and the